Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Red Sox podcast. I'm your host, Jason Mastrodonato from the Boston Herald. With me, as always, is Lauren Campbell from NESN. We're always covering the Red Sox. We're always watching the games. We've been doing this a long time. Thank you so much for joining us. Today, we are going to talk about a lot of things, because if you listen to yesterday's show, Lauren and I kind of wrote this team off a little bit. Lauren, not quite. I will say Lauren was still on board of Red Sox for a playoff team. I had seen enough. I had seen enough on Tuesday to tell me, you know what, I think this team's going to fail. And then they come out on Wednesday and they put up 20 runs on the Tampa Bay Rays. So we've got a lot to dissect. I want to get into the new lineup against left-handed pitching. Alex Cora trotted out a new lineup on Wednesday that I thought was pretty interesting. I want to talk about momentum and how quickly it can change in baseball and if the Red Sox are catching some. And I want to talk about the Major League Baseball might need a mercy rule, because I've been wanting one for a long time. We will start the show talking about Xander Bogaerts' comments after the game on Wednesday, because those were always great. Always good to hear from Xander. And he had a quote about Felipe Valdez that we definitely need to get into. So it's going to be a great show today. Thanks for stopping by. Today's show is brought to you by Locked On MLB. Join the walking baseball encyclopedia, Paul Francis Sullivan, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both past and present. Subscribe to Locked On MLB today. All right, Lauren. So the Red Sox smoked the Rays 20-1 on Wednesday. And, well, sorry, it was 20-1 going into the ninth inning. Going into the ninth inning, it was 20-1. And then Felipe Valdez came in the game. And first of all, why don't you give us your take on what happened when Felipe Valdez came into the game?
He imploded. I mean, I don't know what the heck happened. All of a sudden, the bases were loaded, grand slams, home runs. I just felt like he couldn't get out of his own way. And he gave up 7 earned runs. And I felt really, really sad after. So I was like, this was such a fun game. And he blew it. He didn't blow it, but I was just, he ruined my mood.
So
thanks,
that's
Phillips.
And I'm glad you said that, because it's not just you who felt the mood go down. It's like, you know, it's like a romantic evening, and all of a sudden, you know, the dog starts barking. I have no idea. That was a bad analogy, but it's not just you who felt that. So Xander Bogaerts, after the game, his first quote, asked about how much the Red Sox needed this win. And he said, you know, it was good. We definitely needed this. The offense exploding. And then he goes, at the end there, it was really unfortunate for Valdez coming in a game like that. I would imagine for a pitcher, it's tough. The opposing team just coming out hacking. It kind of ruined the night a little bit. So it's not just you, Lauren. So, you know, the reason why I think this is such an interesting quote from Bogaerts is, you know, I say it all the time. I think he's got the best read on the locker room that you're going to get. Whatever Bogaerts says is usually what's going on in the locker room. And for Bogaerts to say it ruined the night, when they won, they still won by 12 runs in a game that they needed to win. This was a huge game. They had to win this game or they lose the series again. It would have been 7 losses in a row against the Rays. It would have buried them, what, 6 games back in the standings. They needed this win so badly. They still got the win. They won by 12, and Felipe Valdez giving up 7 ruined the night a little bit. So my take on this, and you tell me what you think. My take is the Red Sox didn't just want to win this game. They wanted to pummel the Rays, because they had so much frustration built up over these last 6 straight losses that they've taken to Tampa Bay, over the beating they have been taking from the Blue Jays, over the beating they've been taking from their own fans after Chaim Bloom did nothing at the trade deadline, at least nothing that's helped them yet at the trade deadline, falling apart the last couple weeks. They wanted to destroy the Rays and really send a message, I think, on Wednesday night. And when Felipe Valdez gave up 7 runs, that changed the tone a little bit, maybe changed the momentum a little bit. And yeah, they won the game. It was a huge game, but they didn't get maybe they don't have a great feeling that they were going to have when it seemed like they were just having way too much fun teeing off on the Rays' backup catcher in the bottom of the eighth. They scored 6 runs on him.
Yeah, it's almost like, even though they weren't going up to bat anymore after the ninth inning, it's almost like the wind was knocked out of their sails. And it was almost felt like they, like you said, they just wanted to pummel the Rays. They wanted to absolutely just destroy them. They probably wanted to get the shutout, but it goes to the offense absolutely explodes. Nate Eovaldi goes 7 innings, gets you 10 strikeouts. He did everything he possibly could do. The offense did everything and more. And all I could keep thinking is, if the Red Sox put up 5 or 6 runs like they had in the previous couple of games, we'd be talking about a whole different ballgame. We'd be talking about another ugly loss. We'd be, I don't know, I'd probably be writing this team off right now too. But it's just, I think in a way, like maybe the context is a little iffy. Like maybe it's getting taken a little too out of context. But at the end of the day, when you're up 20-1, and you lose 20-8, it's still, you're putting up 20 runs. But man, that game should have been 1-2-3. Even if he gave up just one home run, I feel like it would have been fine. Like whatever, 20-2 is not that bad. But when it's 20-8, when you give up 7 earned runs in the ninth, and it's not just any other inning, it's the ninth inning when they needed to close this game out. Like, oh man, like this, you're going back to the dugout happy you won, but also just kind of like, should not have given up 7 earned runs by any means.
Okay, so you said context is important. You mean like I shouldn't be reading into it, what Xander said?
Yeah, I think it was just more just like, you know, it sucks for everyone. It obviously sucks for Valdez. I don't think Xander meant any harm by it, but I also think in a way he's holding Valdez accountable, which absolutely needs to happen. Like, I don't care if you're up 50-1, you can't give up 7 runs. I don't think it ruined the entire night, but I think it certainly dumbed down the mood a little. I think they're going into the clubhouse a little less happy than they would be if it was 20-1. But, you know, you're trusting your pitcher to go in there and get 3 outs. Gives up a run or two, okay, whatever. But 7 is too much no matter how big your lead is. And they're almost proving that no lead is safe for the Red Sox, because this could have been a very ugly game very quick.
Yeah, I mean, they needed 7 out of Eovaldi, which was crazy to me. I mean, they were up 16-0 after 14-0 after 5. They were up 14-0 in the 5th inning. They got Nathan Eovaldi, who's got a, you know, pretty significant injury history here, and we're in August and he hasn't gotten hurt yet this year, knock on wood. And you ride him out 2 more innings to 97 pitches because why? Because you really got nobody else, I guess. Obviously he was dealing, no question about it, but you know, do you rest him a little bit? Do you let him go? To me, again, in the ninth, or it wasn't just the ninth inning, it was the eighth inning when the Rays put their backup catcher in. This is the same guy who knocked Barnes around for the 3-run hit on Tuesday night to win the game, Francisco Mejia. So he comes in, the first pitch he throws is a 40-mile-an-hour pitch. So what are the Red Sox doing? They're not up there just like trying to take singles. They are up there hacking. Like, they want to demolish him. And so, again, I think, and they did. I mean, they scored 6 off him. Bogarts hit a moonshot over everything that probably still hasn't landed.
The only home run of the game.
The only home run
for the Red Sox.
Yeah, for the Red Sox, right, because then the Rays got 2 off Valdez, and they already had 1 off Eovaldi. But, it just seemed to me like it wasn't enough to win 14-1. It was like Bill Belichick, you know, they're up 30-0 in the fourth quarter and Tom Brady's still in the game. You know, that was the feeling I got here, that it was like the Red Sox were mad. They were mad. They had a lot of frustration they wanted to take out. And they had a good offensive game, but it just seemed like they let it all out in this game. Like, there was just so much frustration that they had to let out.
Absolutely. And I think they've been in a really, really ugly stretch since the trade deadline. And I think that frustration is starting to boil over because they know they're a better team than what they've been in their last 12, 13 games. And to finally click and to finally get it all out against an AL East team that you need to win against, you know, this isn't the Orioles, which you need to win those games regardless, but there's a big difference between being 4 games back in the AL East and being 5. And they could be 3 games back after Thursday if all goes well. But this was a very need to win game. The Red Sox are angry. And Xander Bogaerts said after the game too that a couple of things were said among players. He said he was going to keep that internal, but there was some messages sent, and I'm sure there were some not so nice words thrown around, just kind of like, what are we doing? We dropped out of first place so dramatically and so quick, and we are on the verge of being a wild card team. And Alex Cora said after the game too, he's like, we're not shooting for a wild card. Like, we want the division. And I wouldn't call this a statement win, but I certainly think that this is a win that the Red Sox can build off of, and then they can turn this into some momentum and win the next like 8 out of 10 games.
Yeah, and I don't know if they reasonably have a chance to win the division at this point. I mean, I guess they could. I guess they could. You know, yesterday I said they were out of the playoffs. You said you still had hope. I'm going to get into a little bit more why I wasn't super impressed on Wednesday night. So that'll be coming up in the second segment. We are brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of make and models, it's impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questions and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers. You can do this yourself. Just go to rockauto.com at home. Do it on your phone. It's so much easier. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. It's a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. The prices are reliably low for every customer, and they have everything you need. Brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet for your car. Go explore their easy-to-use website today. Find the solution for your auto parts now. Right, locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know we sent you. We are also brought to you by Wild Alaskan. A Wild Alaskan company delivers high-quality, sustainably sourced, wild-caught seafood right to your door. Choose from salmon, whitefish, or a combination. Every month, there are different specials you could explore. Each shipment contains premium, wild-caught, individually wrapped portions of delicious seafood that's ready to prepare and easy to cook. I've heard of a lot of people using these boxes, delivery services for meats. I haven't heard of one for seafood until this. This is the first one I've heard of, the Wild Alaskan Company. It is how nature intended it to be, always wild, never farmed or modified, and it contains no antibiotics. You can adjust, pause, or cancel your membership at any time, and they offer 100% satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Right now, you can get $15 off your first box of premium seafood when you visit wildalaskancompany.com/MLB. That's wildalaskancompany.com/MLB for $15 off your first box. Okay, so this game, I thought, listen, they scored 20 runs, that's great. But if you actually watch what happened, this kid Josh Fleming for the Rays looked awful. I mean, really, really bad. And this is a guy who's had an okay season. He doesn't strike out. He doesn't miss a whole lot of bats. He's only got 60 strikeouts and 90 innings coming into this game. He had a 5 ERA. You know, the Rays are full of great pitchers. I don't think this guy is one of them. From what I can tell from this year, I don't remember watching him last year. I guess he made 5 starts in the big leagues last year. I don't remember him. But what he was doing out there in this one, you know, Dennis Eckersley will usually tell it like it is, and he was telling you like it is. This guy had nothing. He really had nothing. And you start watching videos of all the hits. He's throwing 88-mile-an-hour fastballs right over the plate. The only thing that I was impressed with is that they probably could have been swinging for the fences and hit a few homers off this guy, and they didn't. You know, like you said, they didn't hit a homer until Bogaerts took Mejia deep right at the end of the game there. They took their singles. They took their doubles. So that part I'm impressed by, but I have a hard time getting too excited about, like, oh, man, they scored 20. I mean, this guy was throwing meatballs.
Yeah, he was. And it's – I don't really remember him too much last year. I do – I don't know if it was last year or 2019, to be honest, but I just, every time I was watching the Red Sox get hits, and they weren't hitting home runs, you know, they were hitting off the wall, they were hitting single after single, double after double, and they were finding ways to score runs, which was awesome. But at the same time, like you said, the guy was throwing, they were throwing the ball right down the middle of the plate. You're going to eventually make contact, and it just so happened the Red Sox made contact every single time it happened. And I mean, certainly be excited over 19 hits and 20 runs. Yes, absolutely. But it wasn't against somebody like Max Scherzer. It wasn't against somebody of that caliber. So even though it was still a great win against a team they needed to win against, I want to see them do it again tomorrow. I want them to see it. I want to see them continue to do this. Maybe not so much 20 runs. That's obviously not sustainable. But this kind of consistency and this kind of attacking the plate the way they did, whether it's down the middle or outside or inside.
Yeah, and they did, you know, they did just take what he gave them. And, you know, I thought some of the best swings of the night were from Hunter Renfroe, actually, for not hitting home runs, which is what he does. And I was really impressed. There was a pitch he had to go out and get at it was outside part of the plate. He had to go out and get it and roped it down the left field line for a double. And I was just impressed that he didn't try to loft that ball, that he actually got his bat on top of a pitch that was high and just try to hit a line drive. And this is what I like about this new lineup that I mentioned at the top of the show against lefties. I think this is the first time, I meant to look it up, I'll look it up real quick. I think this is the first time Hunter Renfroe's hit second for this team this year. They do it against, they have the lefty on the mound. So you get Kike Hernandez right at the top. And then you get Hunter Renfroe next. And those are really the two guys you brought in the offseason to hit left-handers. That's why they're here, to hit lefties. They ended up playing every day. I guess they wanted to try Kike every day. That was the plan. Hunter was not supposed to be playing every day because he just played well. This was the second time. Okay, second time this season he's hit second. He's pretty much hit fifth or sixth for most of the year. So they got him second. And I was really impressed with his swings. I always liked this guy against lefties. I've obviously been very vocal. I don't think he should play against righties. He's kind of proven me wrong a little bit. He's still not doing great against righties. He's got a 250 average, 740 OPS. He's fine. Strikes out a whole lot. 57 strikeouts and 240 at-bats. But he's hitting lefties really well. I like this lineup. I've been impressed with Hunter Renfroe. I think they should keep this against lefties with Renfroe in the two-hole. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so, too. I think if it worked Wednesday night, continue to do it. If it's working for you, you have to stick with what's working, especially this late in the season. There's 45, 44 games. We're getting close to the end. There's still enough to make a run at this division, yes. But when you have something that's working and you have something that's working specifically with someone like Hunter Renfroe, you need to stick with it because he's been pretty clutch at times all year. And if he continues to catch fire and he continues to swing the way he did Wednesday, that's a dangerous hitter, and you need to keep him where he's producing.
Yeah, so that was a good thing to see those two guys at the top of the order do well. Kike's just continues to be on fire. You know, a guy who I kind of wrote off a month and a half ago, too. I thought he was just not meant to be playing against right-handers, and he's just been on fire for about a month and a half. So this team isn't dead, right? I mean, there's still some life here. Kike's been great for a month and a half. You know, Renfroe still crushes lefties. We saw a little bit more from Bogarts tonight. You know, had a good plate approach, walked twice. You know, I'm not counting that home run. It was a 40-mile-an-hour pitch right over the freaking plate. That shouldn't even count in the standings or in the statistics. But I thought he had a better game. So there's some energy coming back to the offense. So the bigger picture here is, can momentum change just like that? Can it be last night, oh, my God, they're done? You know, you and I felt it. We said they were pretty much done. To all of a sudden they score 20 runs, and now it's, hey, you know what? Maybe they're right back in this thing. Maybe they got the momentum back. They win Thursday. All of a sudden they win the series. Can momentum change that quickly?
I'm hesitant to be so quick to say, like, oh, heck yeah, of course it can change, because we saw how quickly it changed from the Red Sox being so dominant, winning games, finding ways to always win games, to being barely able to score any runs. A lot can change overnight. It can change with a drop of a hat. It's just, I don't want to put all my money in after one game. I do want to see more consistent wins next, like, obviously Thursday. And I want to see them sweep the Orioles. It should be an easy sweep for the Red Sox, but I mean, they always, I feel like they always lose to teams they should win against. But the short answer is no. I don't think it can change just like that, just because they've been so dramatically downfalling, and they need to do more than just win one game with a score of 20 runs.
Yeah, I think at one point Ack on the broadcast said that this was desperation time, and they came out pounding, and that's exactly what they needed to do. And I felt like that was, he was exactly right. You know, he nailed it. This was desperation time. They were desperate. Absolutely. They were desperate. You could feel it from the comments after the last few games. You could feel it just watching them play. This was desperation mode. And hey, maybe they don't look great. You know, congrats. You knocked around a guy who pitched terribly and a backup catcher and scored 16 runs combined off those two. But if it's not, maybe you're not celebrating how well you played, but maybe it's just a little relief that, hey, we didn't lose. You know, we won a game. We're still in this thing. And I think that's the biggest takeaway for me from Wednesday night is just a little bit of relief from this team. So, all right, coming up, we got our unpopular opinions. We'll end the show on a positive note. We are brought to you by Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is swinging back and forth. It's crazy right now in the standings. The playoff odds, every time I check, every day, they look different. Right now, the Red Sox are still a favorite to win the wild card, but it is changing. So you could check the odds if you're a bettor, if you're into this sort of thing. Check them out on Bet Online. They've got everything from baseball, UFC, MMA, golf, soccer, anything that's going on in the summer. You can check it out at Bet Online. You could do it on your laptop. You could do it on your phone. They have news on there. If you're wondering what's going on, it's on there. They've got sign-up bonuses, contest information. Right now, you can get the 50% welcome bonus still. It's the Locked On special. If you use the promo code Locked On, you'll get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get in the game as teams prep for their playoff runs. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Welcome back to our favorite part of the show, our unpopular opinions. I'm going to go first because I think this is an unpopular opinion. Maybe it's more popular than I think. I don't know. But the people who I usually bring it up to, if they are hardcore baseball fans, hate it. And if they're casual baseball fans, love it. So this happens to me every time I'm watching the game or talking to someone while I'm watching the game, and it's a blowout. Every time. If it's someone who's not like a hardcore baseball fan, they say, can't the other team just quit? Like, why is the other team still playing? And same thing happened to me on Wednesday night. I was on the phone with someone who was watching the game, and she said, why isn't the other team just quit? I mean, it's 14, whatever it was, and then they put up runs in the eighth, and she's like, the catcher's pitching? What's happening? Why don't we have a mercy rule in baseball yet? I don't understand it. We've created a rule now to protect pitchers and essentially protect teams' pitching depth where we start the 10th inning with a man on second. So we did a great job as a sport of eliminating the 19-inning games that decimated teams' bullpen, and then you have to make three roster moves the next day, and now you have to have not just, you know, 35 players that you'll use during a season, but maybe 45 because you're calling up so many pitchers and sending them back down every time you have a long extra innings game. So we did a good job of that as a sport with this extra innings rule. But we still haven't nailed the mercy rule. I don't understand why the other team can't just quit. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me. Hey, if you want to say you have to play at least six innings before you can quit, fine. In the seventh inning you want to quit? Quit. Quit the game. You know, the fans got their money's worth. They got six innings. Do they really need, like, was that seventh inning vital to the fans to watch the Red Sox play one, you know, two and a half more innings with the score 14-1? If the Rays wanted to quit, let them quit. Instead, what do we get? We got their backup catcher up there throwing 40 miles an hour. Now we've got the Rays bullpen. How are we going to trust the Rays bullpen stats now? They just added one inning and six earned runs goes to the Rays bullpen. So you look it up. How's the Rays bullpen this year? Oh, I don't know. They've got a catcher who gave up six runs. Like, are we looking through all of this? You know, Xander Bogaerts hit a towering home run. How many? There was two on. So he got three RBIs from that and his 17th homer this season. That shouldn't count. It was worse than a batting practice pitch. It messes with the stats. It's stupid. Guys are getting. I don't like it when position players are pitching. It's fun to watch for a couple minutes, but it's like, I don't understand. If the other team wants to quit, why can't we just let them quit? That's my take on the mercy rule.
So I like the mercy rule if it was after seven innings and the team is up at least 10. Okay. I think it needs to be double digits. Just because, I mean, if it was seven, you know. Red Sox saw it on a Wednesday night.
Right, but then
all for the mercy rule, though. Like, all for it, because especially on tonight, like you said, like, there was no reason for the seventh inning. Even the ninth inning, I was like, even if the – I mean, it didn't matter at the end of the day because the Rays lost. So what's the difference between losing 14-0 than 20-8. There's no difference.
Well, the difference, I guess, is the momentum, right? We talked about Bogart saying that it ruined the night.
True. I mean, maybe they'll come out tomorrow and they'll lose 7-0.
Right.
They better not.
But if the Rays wanted to make that decision to quit, that's their prerogative, right? I mean, yeah, they shouldn't have, because now they got this momentum coming out of the ninth inning. But if they wanted to, I think that's all I'm saying. They should just have the option to. That's it. That's my only point on the mercy rule.
Should be the new rule for the 2022 season.
I love it.
My unpopular opinion, as much as we have talked bad about him in the first half of the show and some of the second half, Felipe Valdez is not as bad as that ninth inning, and caused me a lot of grief. He caused me a lot of stress in my game wrap and sitting there just wanting to publish my story and file it away, and he could not let me do that. He's been pretty good. People were praising him when he came up and was like, this guy needs to stay. And now it's like, oh man, is he hurt? Does he suck? Like, what's going on? I think it was just a bad night. I think it was just a night that, and if there's a night you can afford to give up 7 earned runs, it's Wednesday night. You should never do that, period. Like, it's just, you should, no lead is safe when you are the Red Sox. And that was proven Wednesday night. But at the end of the day, as much as I don't want to trust Valdez, I would still give him the ball over, I don't know.
Who?
No, I don't even know.
Over who?
I was going to say Matt Andrees, but I was like, he's hurt. Like, I can't, like, that's not even fair.
He's
like,
not coming back.
No. I
don't think Matt Andrees is coming back, seriously.
And I'm sitting here, I was like, I know, I don't think I'd give it to him over Ottavino, over Taylor. And now it's just like, well, anyway, so backtracking. My unpopular opinion is that he's not as bad, even though what I just said does not support that. But he's not as bad as he showed Wednesday night.
Yeah, no, he's definitely not. I mean, he's not a terrible pitcher. I think he's exactly what he is. He's like a 26th guy on the roster. You call him up when you need him, gives you some innings. He's not bad. You know, actually, you look at last season and all the freaking guys they used last season. What they used, 30 pitchers in a 60-game season, which is insane. And they had 16 different starters. Oh, what a disaster that season was. But all the guys that Chaim Bloom shuffled in here and then subsequently shuffled them out of here, really, he's the only guy who stayed, right? He's really the only guy who made him. All these other names I'm looking at, like, these guys are gone. These guys they just tried out, they're all gone, every single one of them. I think he's the only guy who stayed, the only guy who we hadn't heard before who is still here on the team who stayed. So there's something to be said for that. All right. We always end the show on a positive note. I guess we could say that Felipe Valdez is a positive note. I'm going to go with Garrett Richards going to the bullpen. It was kind of like a third. It was like the C storyline on Wednesday before the game. I was like, wow, Garrett Richards going to the bullpen. On a normal day, this would be like a headline news. But we also had two other things. Kyle Schwarber going out on rehab assignment. Matt Barnes is not losing his closer job, which we didn't even talk about today. But I don't think we thought he was going to lose the job. Anyways, Garrett Richards going to the bullpen. I think this could be decent. You know, I know we've talked a lot about how much he's really struggled as a starter. But it's because he's really only throwing two and a half pitches now that he's not using his curveball anymore. Or using it sparingly and not really effectively. And, you know, he is a velocity guy. He's out there throwing 97. Well, I mean, if he can empty the tank in an inning or two, I bet you he hits 100. All of a sudden, his stuff looks a little bit better. All he's got to do is, you know, throw a couple sliders and maybe sneak a changeup in there every once in a while. I think he could actually be all right as a reliever. I would not be surprised if we get to sometime in September, we're saying, wow, Garrett Richards is not a bad reliever. This might work out okay. The only issue we're going to run into is if he accepts it. And I think he's clearly shown he's struggled to kind of accept how terribly he was pitching this year. A lot of times after games, he would say, you know, I'm going to stay positive. You know, after he got shelled, and he was asked several times after several starts, like, you know, what do you think? Are you going to stay in the rotation? Like, do you feel like you've deserved to stay in the rotation? He always says, I'm a starter. You guys are the only ones who say I'm not a starter. It's the media. And now Alex Cora has said, no, you're not a starter, you're a reliever. And so I think that's going to be the big struggle, is getting him to buy in. But if there's anyone who could do it, it's Alex Cora. And, you know, I think there's still a decent chance this works out okay, or he's a usable reliever.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think, too, getting him to accept the role is just a matter of him going out there once or twice and hopefully dominating a lineup or picking up, you know, two or three strikeouts in two innings or four strikeouts in two innings, just to show them that he can still be a reliable pitcher. He can be successful in whatever role he's given. And if I'm pitching for a team like the Boston Red Sox, I'm going in any role that they're going to give me.
Yeah.
So my positive note is that even though some of them came in a silly fashion, Bobby Dalbec still had five RBI on Wednesday. It was just nice to see. I mean, Randy Arozarena certainly should have had that ball, no doubt. And all of a sudden that turned into a triple for Dalbec, but he's been struggling a lot. There's no doubt. I'm sure he sees, he hears, I'm sure he knows he's struggling. So just to get him into that groove and have five RBI in a night where it was just needed by everybody, I was happy to see that.
Yeah, I won't get too excited. You know, it was a pop fly triple that Arozarena definitely should have caught. And his first single, I think he just got jammed and somehow the ball landed in right field. But yeah, like you said, you'll take him any way you can get him. Hey, he walked twice. Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing for Bobby Dalbec. This guy never walks.
He swings at everything.
Wait, that might be, Lauren, that might be history. That might have been his first two-walk game. He has not had a two-walk game this year.
Wow, and Red Sox history for Bobby Dalbec.
Ah, he had one last year, right at the end.
Darn.
Right at the end of the season, he had two walks. I mean, he was crushing everything last season.
Right.
So that's a little bit of a surprise. Okay, there you go. Historic for this season, Bobby Dalbec's first two-walk game. So that's a good way to end the show. Check back on Friday. Always bringing you new episodes here on the Locked On Red Sox podcast. You can follow our podcast on Twitter at, is it LO_Red Sox, right?
You got it.
And you could read my stuff in the Boston Herald, Boston Herald's website. You could find me on Twitter at JMastroDonato.
You can read all of my stuff on Nesson.com pretty much Monday through Fridays, where you can find me on there. And find me on Twitter at LaLaLaLauren, three laws, then Lauren with four R's.
And you could drop us a line, let us know what you think of the show. If you have any suggestions, leave us a review. We love those. I've read them all. I think they've all been pretty good, actually. Maybe unless someone has a new one that hasn't been. But certainly appreciate the reviews. Subscribe as well on Spotify or Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. And yeah, we'll see you soon. Thanks so much. This episode is brought to you by Locked On Bets. Betting on the Red Sox doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and the handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag.